Be not silent unto me. multiply, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Them as well called the multitude of the disciples and said to them, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministering of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands upon them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples was multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith.
It be unto thee that readeth.
And with thy spirit, the Alleluia in the eighth tone. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
And asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body unto Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said amongst themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door for us of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and they were amazed, neither said they anything unto any man, for they were afraid.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because our Saviour had died in the way that he did, they did not have opportunity to prepare the body for burial in the way that they would have liked. Very, very quietly, and in the very early part of the day, they crept up to the tomb. They did not know how they were going to get into the tomb, for a great stone had been rolled over the entrance of the tomb. So they came not knowing a lot of things. They first of all did not know how they could possibly get into the tomb to anoint the body of the Saviour. And they also did not know, in reality, that our Saviour had risen from the dead. They did not know at that point. They had been told by Jesus that he would rise from the dead on the third day. But how could they have made sense of this in their grief when they saw the death of the Saviour upon the cross? So they went thinking that there would be a dead body in the tomb. So they arrive and they come with sweet smelling spices. And they come to anoint the body of our Saviour. They are very brave. They are courageous women who come, even though they know that there is a profound and great risk. And so they come and they find that the tomb is opened. And when they step into the tomb, then they are confronted with an angel. And the angel tells them that the Saviour is risen. In the Gospel according to St. John, there is another reference a little story that is just beyond this story. For Mary Magdalene lingers. She stays in the garden. She is grief-stricken because, in some sense, she still doesn't make sense of it all. And she thinks that somebody has stolen the body of our Saviour. So she lingers in her grief and in her sadness. And as she lingers, she meets somebody in the garden. And this someone, she says, "Master, whoever you are, if you can, you know, give me the body, take me to the body of the Saviour." But the Saviour speaks to her very quietly with her own name. He says, "Mary." And then when she hears the voice of the Saviour, she recognises that it is her risen Lord. This is a very beautiful and poignant moment. And Mary Magdalene is rewarded by being really the first human being upon the earth who witnesses the resurrection of our Saviour. It is a beautiful moment. And so we should think about how we come to the Saviour. How do we come? Do we come carrying sweet-smelling spices? Or do we come full of sin and full of a reticence and a lack of faith? The women came with great courage. They came with sweet-smelling spices. They came with great purity and with great love. And so as we approach Christ our Saviour and come to encounter his body and his blood in the Holy Eucharist, so we should be fragrant. We should have within ourselves sweet-smelling spices. Spices and fragrance that shows that we have struggled to become as pure and as beautiful and as close to God as we possibly can. This Sunday is a Sunday where we should meditate very, very deeply upon the state of our souls as we approach the holy body, the precious blood of our Lord and God and Saviour Jesus Christ. For we should come with an attitude very similar to that of the myrrh-bearing women. They come with courage, they come with hope, they come in great difficult circumstances, but nevertheless they come with great beauty and great fragrance. So when we approach the body and the blood of Christ, we should indeed be fragrant with purity and with love. This is an effort. It is a work. It does not come just like that. It is something that we have to work at by prayer, by fasting, by giving of alms, by trying to live a life that is more like the life that God wants us to live. So when we think about the myrrh-bearing women, think also about our own souls, our own way of living. Let us try, in some sense, to be more like them. And as we approach the body and the blood of Christ, let us, like the myrrh-bearing women, come with great faith, with great hope, with great courage, and with our souls fragrant, pure, and cleansed. Amen.